It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hi, and welcome to Pete George Raw, where we are raw and unapologetic about issues confronting men's mental health in this day and age. In addition, we offer real conversations and tackle issues that impact a massive amount of Australian men. Join us every week as we delve into politics, health, travel, and more from a raw, unfiltered perspective. We are here to challenge your views, start important conversations, and hopefully make you think. So sit back, relax, and join us every week on the Pete George Raw podcast. Hi, just a little heads up on this episode. It is from a previous podcast called Out of the Cave, and you can still listen to those podcasts as well at Out of the Cave. And this is a series that we call My Story. So sit back and relax. If you hear different references to different shows, don't panic. You're listening to Pete George Raw. Hi, and welcome to this episode of the Pete George podcast, where I will be talking about a journey I've been on. And as the title says, I had to hit rock bottom to come out the other side. Just before we get into the show, I'd just like to ask you a couple of things. And that is, one is to subscribe on your favourite platform at petergeorge.com.au. And the other is, where you can on a platform, leave us a review. Because the success of this show comes down to you guys participating, which I really, really appreciate. And also following and building the audience through your friends and network as well. So as a team, let's make the Pete George Show a success. Hi, and thanks for listening to that little bit about myself. And today's show, I am recording it. I don't know if I got to put the audio up, the video up. The audio would definitely go up. Depends how I get through it, I suppose. Over the last 5 years, people that have or who will listen to this show know that I haven't been working a bit longer than 5 years now, and had quite a few medical problems, and just wasn't too well, and over time, I didn't realise this. The family did, but I didn't. And I just went into a very big, deep spiral that culminated on Boxing Day 2021 in me having a partial breakdown, I suppose you could call it, and then attempting to take my life. And from there, ended up in hospital in a mental health unit, and now I'm here where I am. I still struggle from every now and again, but a lot better. But the story of today is how I got there, how I got out of it, and what I'm doing now, and how things are going, and there'll be a few pointers along the way that'll help you, I hope, understand mental health a little bit better and things you can and can't do to help people. So as I said, there was quite a few medical situations, bad knees, a back that restricts me, neck that restricts me, carpal tunnels, flap tears in both shoulders, bursitis in hips and shoulders. So there was quite a bit going on. And the doctor that I was seeing in what they thought was doing the right thing was protecting me from making things worse. But mentally, things were getting worse and worse by the year. Jane, my wife, she saw it but was too scared to speak out about it. How I just became obsessed with the pain and what was going on instead of taking the effort to try to break through that barrier. And so that culminated to the point where I became reclusive, wouldn't do things, wouldn't go out, was too scared to, you know, walk downstairs. And then I was having serious troubles with nerve pain down my legs, and the doctor prescribed Lyrica as well as Mitogen, and that's where the real downhill spiral started. And Boxing Day this last year, I woke up in a rage, abused family members, then abused Jane on the phone. And when Jane came home, we argued, and then that's when I started to pop pills like they were Tic Tacs, and consequently ended up in hospital. But the hard thing that I had to come with, and same with Jane and Dave and all, and Anne, my family, was that I can't remember about 4 days. I can remember bits and pieces, like things in the hospital. I'm sitting there talking to people and there was no one in the room with me. Put my hand out to grab a coffee and there was no coffee. So it was quite scary. I was pretty close to ending it. And then I went into the mental health unit, the Waratah unit at Robina Public Hospital, and that's where everything sort of turned around, and I got an understanding of why I got to where I got to. And there's good obsession and there's bad obsession. You know, good obsession is striving to be the best you can, doing the things that you enjoy. There's a good mate that I communicate, not with a lot, but, you know, he always follows me and, you know, he's always sort of got your back. There's two of them really, Bruce and Dylan. Dylan loves his books. I think he's got a Facebook page now where you can go and see, and he gives a review on a book. That's his little thing that he loves to do, and that's read. Whereas my thing was that I love to talk about pain, and it drove people in darts, which I love, I think, away. I think they got sick, and same as my family, got sick of hearing all the complaints instead of enjoying life and accepting what I've got. Pushed away a lot of people, offended a lot of people, and no apology can help that with some people out there. And you just try to strive forward, and, you know, like Luke and Denise, a couple of close friends, they're there for me. They don't have to be there all the time, but I know they got me back, and really, really appreciate that. But moving forward, it was just before I came out of the mental health unit, I spent some time with the occupational health and occupational therapist, and that's where it all sort of sunk home and I understood it and sort of turned myself around. mentally, physically, I'm going to be what I am. I can't repair the damage that's been done physically, but mentally I can strive to do different things. You know, like now I've got my hand back to normal, that there, if I put the video up, I've got a, I just had the second of the carpal tunnel surgeries done, so, you know, I can get back into sports again and start moving again. But the occupational therapist went through all the things that trigger me to go backwards, and then all the things that make me feel good, and that's, you know, darts, talking about darts, sport, talking about business, talking about politics, and all of those sort of things. And, you know, if you do suffer from mental health, and I do this when I feel a little bit down, is go and get a freezing cold drink of water, and it shocks your body, and off you go and you're running again, or have a cold shower, or do something that'll shock your body back to the place that you should be or want to be. And that's one of the things I picked up. And the other thing was that she wrote my name in a bubble and said, "Who's Peter George?" And I said, fat, middle-aged loser. You know, that's how I felt. But she then pointed out all the aspects to Peter George and how small the pain was, and that's when I realised that there's more to me than just the pain and how I let a lot of people down. So that was that. Hang on. So that was the light bulb moment for me. Now, it doesn't mean that I was perfect the next day or was, you know, back to my normal self. But one of the good things about going through what I've gone through is there's a lot of help out there that people may not realise. You know, like, I can never remember the name, but it's like a program where you go in and you have a mentor that works with you for 12 weeks to make sure that, you know, you're striving and going forward and trying to be the best you can after coming out of a mental health unit. And David was great help there. He did nothing spectacular than be there for me. So that was good. And then, you know, I've still got to do a few things that I've set goals to do, and that's like get back into trying to get the body functioning again, swimming, which I'll do once I can get my hand super, super wet and I'll start walking through the water. And this, you know, doing the podcast, I started, stopped, changed names, changed ideas, and now it's just got to be the Peter George podcast or the Peter George show if you're watching the video. And I'm just going to talk about the things I enjoy on a weekly basis, and then the next step in the journey is going back to school and taking my photography to a different level, which is going to be a diploma of screen and media in production. So ends up being, you know, a chance of being a cinematographer, director of photography, director, product production manager, and all the different things that'll take. Not only this, but, you know, hopefully get me back into some sort of work on a bit more of a regular basis, which I've got to start looking for as well, just part-time over the next 12 months because I'll be doing full-time school. So that's where I've been, got to, and am now. But one of the things I really wanted to talk about was how to help someone that's been in or a friend that's in the situation that I am. You know, it's I can always remember, oh, I can't remember who it was, but I remember the conversation where with Warnie he would ask how you're going and then turn around in a split second and say, how are you really going? And that's the whole thing about, are you okay? It's one thing to say, how are you going? And the person saying, I'm fine. I could have sold that I was fine forever, but it just got to rock bottom with the mixture of the Lyrica and the Tarzan and not being monitored over that time. That's the big thing that we found out, that you've got to be closely monitored when you're on these drugs, and now I'm on none of them. I just take over-the-counter painkillers. I've got to take a fair few of them, but that's what it is. So on, if you go to Are You Okay? .org, and I've got them in a few descriptions of the podcast and the show. They'll be there just to click on it and go to. If you want to help people with mental health, when you ask the question of are you okay or how are you going, just remember you've entered into a social agreement, and that agreement is that you care for that person and you feel that they have an issue. And it could be something simple as they're struggling at work or things like that, but it can also be deeper where they do have a severe mental illness that is dragging them down and down. And there's a lot of things that you can pick if it's a friend. And that is things like, they say they're going to turn up and go to an event or do something with you, and at the last minute they pull out, and that becomes a pattern of that particular person, like I did. You know, like with darts, I could always say, oh, I'm not feeling right today and pull out, and that was letting the team down. So they're the sort of things that the patterns can form. Or you know, if they're out of work, like I was, that, you know, they don't get out of bed, or they just lay on the bed, or do those sort of things. I still do that, just to try to give my body a little bit of a break. But, you know, like back before the Boxing Day incident, I'd be sleeping anywhere up to 18 to 20 hours a day, and was no good for anyone. So they're the sort of things to look for. Hang on, I'll just grab this because there's a little bit of an acronym. It's called ALEC, and I can never remember the whole box and dice of it if I can't find it here. Hang on. I did have it written down. Here we go, ALEC, which is up on the Are You OK website. And you can download information. You can do a little quiz to see if you're ready to approach someone with mental health. So the first one is to ask, and that is, it can be as simple as, you know, how are you going? And one of the things that social media has done is lost its human contact. And as a photographer, I have always said and believe that you've got to light the eyes, and that's where you get the – hang on, there we go, we're back. And that's where we get the true person. And if you look them in the eye and say, how are you going? And you think to yourself, well, there's a little bit more. Just ask a little bit, like, you know, Warnie did, you know, are you really okay? And then listen, don't give an opinion, don't give a thought, just listen to what the person's saying, because sometimes that's all we need with people with mental health is an ear. And that ear could spark something, and during the course of the conversation, you may spark something that they haven't seen in a long time or thought of before, and that way you can actually help them on the journey. Now, if it gets to the point where you think it's quite serious, the next one is encouraged to take action. And the first port of call is going to see your GP. They have tools there that can identify whether the person's in serious trouble or not with mental health. And, don't push them, but just say, listen, you know, from what you've said, you know, I think you're better off to I'll support you along the way, but I think you need a little bit more professional help than I can give. But the hard thing of going down this path is, and this is just from experience and living it, is that if you ask and the person says that they're okay and they go off and harm themselves, it's not your fault. And you've just got to understand that that person had hit rock bottom. Like I said in the intro, this is about hitting rock bottom, and sometimes rock bottom for some people and too many people, as far as I'm concerned now that I understand a lot, is that suicide is rock bottom for a lot of people. And I was fortunate enough that I didn't take the extra 5 or 6 tablets that it would have taken. So that's the hard side of it. And the other side is for you to be emotionally prepared that if that person turns around and says, I am really struggling and breaks down, that you just sit there and let them break down. And hopefully it's not aggressive or anything like that, but as much as we've been taught in life, and Jane did this to me when I broke down and was taking the tablets. And that was that, I think it was a little bit out of anger, but that's a different issue. But she let me work it out that I was doing something that was wrong. And that's the same when someone breaks down emotionally. Let them get to a point where they come back. And that's just, and it's not hugging them or holding their hand or anything like that. It's just letting them dump their emotions in one outburst so that they can come back and that you can talk about them, about getting help. Because at that time when you break, you then go to the point where you go, okay, I need help. The other part that I said where I can remember some things in the emergency ward was a doctor came in to me and said, do you want to go to the mental health unit? And I just said yes, because what happened when I took all those tablets, I went to the toilet, came back and said, shit, what have I done? And that was my little moment there, and I knew that I needed help. I knew I needed to get away from the family because I just hurt them and things like that. So there's a snapping point that we can accept until the point that that person needs professional help. And to the people, if you're listening and you are hearing things that I'm saying that resonate with you, don't be scared to go and get the help. But on that journey of help, you've got to take your family with you through the good and the bad, include them, get them to sessions so that they can understand what is going on. Now, the fourth part of ALEC is check in. Now, this is the bugbear. People mean well. The number of messages or texts or whatever I got from people is phenomenal. And the big one is, if you need to talk to someone, give me a call. I ain't got a call. The person with mental health isn't got a call. Once you go down this path of asking people if they're okay, it is up to you and only you, and this is where I said the social contract, to check in with them. Because when you're going down in a downward spiral, you won't communicate with people. How many times at work have you had a shit day and people are talking to you and everything like that, and all you want to do is get out of the office? It's no different. And those people will contact you to see if you're okay. And this is where it's no different with someone with mental health and bringing them up, and, you know, you've had your chat, and then in a week's time, just ring them up and say, how are you travelling? Because what happens is that you as the person that's suffering feels like, oh, shit, someone cares about me. That they want to be there for me and help me, not just a flippant, and I don't mean it in a derogative way, term of, oh, just contact me and I'll talk to you. It's not that simple for the person with mental health. And that is the key thing. And it never used to be in there, and it's only came in, and this is why I got to push Are You Okay? Because they finally put it in. Where if you sense someone is having problems, check in with them, keep talking to them, keep ringing them up. Not every day, where it becomes annoying and frustration and then the person will block your number. Just like normal conversations that we had when, you know, like I was born in 1966 and we never had mobile phones. We used to ring up a mate on a dialed telephone and, you know, we'd ring up and say good day. You know, if you watch old movies where the parents are telling the daughter to get off the phone because they're talking to their other girlfriends that they've just been at school with all day. You know, the communication now has been cut back due to social media. Social media has its place, but the art of communication has died off a lot. There's a lot of people my age that still communicate openly and freely, but just saying to someone on a text or just saying to someone in a DM or just saying to someone, you know, on a post where they've, you know, said that I'm feeling shit, oh, give me a call. No. Call them. Somewhere online you will find their number if they're not a real close friend. But if you can text someone to give me a call, you can call them. And that's the big thing that I swear by, that will push someone either over the edge to get help or lift them up to the point where they feel, as I said earlier, that someone cares about me, that everything's going to be okay. I can strive to be something different. I can strive to get back to a life that I used to live. Because being down and out for a couple of days, and we all do it. Everybody has a down day and get a little bit depressed because, you know, the boss wouldn't give them a pay rise. So you're down and out for a few days. When it happens for years or months, then it's a problem, and then it's where you've got to help. And that's what friends are for. You know, I've got a great friend and I had him down to do an interview and Don LaChance. We met years ago. He's a Canadian. He's been here, spent a great month or so with us, Jane and I, here in Australia. And I'll get him on and talk about how to deal with grief and loss, because he's a grief and loss counsellor, and we'll just chat. I'm no Joe Rogan, but, you know, this is the thing where I got to take the show in some part to talk to people that can help others. As a few of you may have known, I used to run a website called Out of the Cave, which was for men's mental health. But it's not a good thing to run when your mental health isn't well. And that's when I stopped the show. I just couldn't cope anymore with it, even though I helped many people. But from this, if I've helped someone spark off a moment to go and get some help, if I've sparked a family member that says, Jesus, I can see what Pete's saying, and, you know, Uncle Joe or whoever, you know, Aunt Mary's struggling a bit, let's go and have a chat. COVID was a killer, not just because of the disease, but because of the loneliness. Suicides were up. People were dying and not being able to have family with them. Now, the person that died, they're gone. But the heartache and the pain of the people that won't be able to spend time with them, that's going to have emotional and mental effects for years to come. You know, they're always going to sit there and think to themselves, shit, I wish I wasn't be able to spend time with me mum in the last, or me dad, or me brother, or me sister. So we've got to help each other. We've got to get back and communicate and pop around to people's houses, have dinner parties, enjoy each other's company again, not on a phone. Phones have a place. But when it comes to our mental health, personal contact is the main source of success to get people out of the rut. So if you have any questions about it, feel free to, you know, send me a message or whatever. I'm quite happy to sit down and talk to people about it. I can hook you up on the software that we use to do the shows. But I apologise about my appearance. I'm not shaven and a little bit rugged, but I was supposed to put a show out yesterday at 1 p.m. and this was it, and I've been struggling to do it, but here I am, I'm doing it. So as I close this off, and a few people I want to thank: Bruce Hutchinson, Dylan Hopp, Luke and Denise at Bullseye Darts, and the guys at Formula Sports. In some ways they've supported me along the way, and I apologise to the people that I've made myself an ass about, but that's life. Move on forward. As I said, if I can help anyone in any way to understand this a little bit better, feel free to send me a message. If you want to chat, but it's not going to be like Out of the Cave, where that's all I focused on. So from here on in, it's just going to be the fun stuff. I want to take you on the journey of going back to school full time at 56. And I'll be talking about, I can't until after the election talk about the election, because I've got to be working for Australian Electoral Commission on polling day, so you can't talk about politics, but that's not too bad a thing. And I've got to be talking about sports. I've got to try to get some interviews up and running. I do have one in place that will probably upset a few people, but it's probably the biggest interview I've ever done in my life, so that it's got to be a bit of a challenge. Oh, this frigging lens. I'm going to have to buy a new lens. But, that's my story. That's where I've been. That's where I've got to, and that's where I am now. So it's only looking forward. And the main person I want to thank before I go is my wife, Jane. And I'll just leave it at that. But once again, you've been listening to The Pete George Show. Please like, subscribe. If you go to petergeorge.com.au, you can do all the subscribing and everything there in one place on your favourite platform. And just pop over to YouTube. There's a link there at petergeorge.com.au. But the next show is going to be a real fun one. It's about photography, but I've got to show you through a series of things and hopefully get you out there travelling. So once again, thanks for being a part of The Pete George Show.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.